logs were cut in the wintertime and hauled to the banks of rivers leading into Saginaw. One of our most prominent river was the Tibidawasi. This handled logs all the way from West Branch branches that ran into the river on different points at different points along the way.
How'd they get them to the river?
In the spring, were floated down the river at a place where the Tibidawasi runs into the Saginaw River, known as Green Point. Each log had a marker of the different mills that were along the Saginaw River at that time. They were sorted there and put into rafts and delivered to the various sawmills in the area.
You mean there were men on the river, and when the logs came down, they picked them up and then put them on the different rafts?
I can remember as a boy being out at my grandfather's farm on the Tibidawasi River and walking across the river on nothing but logs.
Did that sort of pollute the water at all?
No, that didn't hurt anything. No. This was way back. Early 1900s.
How did Uncle Art, how did they get them into the water in the first place? You know, in the wintertime?
Shut it off.
Okay.
Shut it off. The little town of Averill, north of Midland, held the biggest concentration of logs one year. Which amounted to millions of feet on the bank at that town.
Yeah, that's right, it's that.
We had dozens and dozens of sawmills between Saginaw and Bay City.
Who were the men that usually owned these? Was it a bunch of men or one corporation or just one man?
I'm talking the logging base, sawmill.
Oh, you mean old Mershon?
W.B. Mershon. Hill, Arthur Hill.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, sure, the old Hill. You're like I am, I can't remember. Oh, full Michigan Avenue.
Then they were single men.
Huh?
Real wealthy?
Oh, they were mostly all, a lot of them were together. Sure, they were all, those Michigan, most of those homes on Michigan.
What about Fortney?
No. No,
Summers was Match Factory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ezra Russ.
Russ?
Very good,
Who? led into the Tittabawassee. They all came down here. That's how they got down here.
This is where you used to hunt them up here on the Tittabawassee.
That's right.
And then they were all, were they tagged?
They all had a mark on them.
They all had their...
Trademark.
And were there ever any people that would steal those logs? I mean, I know they're very valuable, but were there men on the river that would put different brands on them?
What would you do with them after you got them? They had no way to use them. They float them in the river and they come down there. Like I say, I used to walk across the river. My dad and granddad used to run the farm there at Oakwood Cemetery, mm-hmm. across State Street Bridge. I think we used to walk across there in spring of the year when those logs came down.
Look, Larry, what did they do with the logs that sunk?
They stayed there.
Did they stay there? I mean, was there anybody that was a scavenger on that stuff? Could they have them then, use them for fences?
They used to have fences. I think those.
Yeah.
Don, they used to have, the scavengers used to have a raft with a winch on it. A little house. They'd stay right on that river. They'd go along with a pipe pole with a long rod, sharp rod. That house of my granddad's, we pulled enough logs out of that river to make all the rough lumber out of that. Logs that big.
Well, these scavengers, would they sell them to the company then? Or
sure.
They'd sell them to the lumber yards?
Well, they sell them to sawmill.
Sawmill, yeah.
Sure, bring them down there, sawmill.
Wouldn't they get arrested if they...
No, they were... They were
that was a legal operation.
They was nobody around anymore, so I had a warrant for them.
Well, something else I wanted to ask, how big were these trees? How big around? Like, I had them pictured small, like this. No? They were big?
Oh, they were very big pine logs.
Like a yard in diameter?
Some of them.
See, that's what you see, old virgin lumber, you know, back in the old days.
You've been to the...
Pinewood,
what's it called? Pines up at Hardwood Pine?
Have you ever been up with Mike Greeley?
No, I don't think so.
Next time you're up, that way you go in there and see them. And they got them there that big.
Oh, my God.
Of course, those were cut now, remember now. Those trees are still 50, 60 years older than when they cut that lumber up in that territory.
Mm.
They cut all winter. That's the only way they could haul them to the rivers. They take all these little rivers and float them into the big rivers or haul them to the banks of the big river on sleighs.
Yeah. Oh, how many
could
they fit on a
sleigh? Oh, dear, my God. They start out with 5, 6. They had great big high wheels. Probably have 4 or 5. Why is this room built up to a peak?
No, they just have changed.
Uncle Art, would they, I think what Mary was getting at, in the wintertime the rivers were frozen. Weren't they?
Yeah,
they didn't flow in the winter. Yeah, they didn't float them in the winter, but they cut them in the winter, took them to the banks of the...
Like I told her, at Averill up there was the biggest concentration of logs ever assembled in one spot. Millions of feet.
I've seen
my brother's got the pictures of that up the cottage. Then I'll lose. Knock out a log, let them roll.
Let them roll. Huh?
Then they have some men along the way in case you got a log jammed somewhere else. You open it up. Throw in a stick of dynamite sometimes.
When they brought them down here then, and they took them to the sawmill, with the people around here not being that well off, was the lumber that expensive or not? I mean, how could the people afford to buy it?
Lumber was cheap in those days when they were there.
Oh, was it?
What did it cost to build a house? What did Grandpa's house cost to build that time?
Well, I don't know. I can tell you what my dad built. My dad built that house on Charles Street for $2,500.
That was a big home.
Complete.
That was a big home.
Well, it had a living room, dining room, kitchen, bath downstairs, three bedrooms upstairs, a basement.
Yeah. 2,500. I thought Uncle or Grandpa's was around 500, 600.
$600.
Yeah,
I think
to build a home. It's still standing over there, basically. They got a little aluminum siding on it.
Carry a board home every day from the sawmill. That's right.
Really?
Sure.
Knock it out.
Okay.
Oh, they give it to them.
Fences around their houses and those wooden sidewalks. They were so cheap. You had wooden sidewalks.
If they got a bad board, they didn't care. With a couple of bad knots in it, they wouldn't put it in the pile, would they?
Well,
take it home.
Today, that's what we buy.
No.
Not old.
Then they used to bring them down here at Greens Point. That's what they called the boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used to put them into rafts. They had a pole, probably 12, 16 foot long, and they'd take 12 logs, put them side by side. Then they'd take this pole and lay over, and they'd have a couple of dogs, we call them a chain. Then they'd float them, then they'd have these little little boats, tugs, pull them down to the different sawmills, all the way from here, from Boone's Point all the way to Bay City.
Oh my gosh.
They tell me that at one time you could almost walk from Lisswanock in the Bay City on lumber piles. You got that honor, haven't you?
Here.
Huh?
Yeah, now I do.
Oh.
Okay.
I should know what you got there. Shut it off.
Kerosene burns, slaving other people, but all the coal was delivered by slaving. Now, most of your coal, Uncle Art, in those days was used for your arcolas, weren't they? Was there a lot of furnaces back in...
Your furnaces didn't come to life after World War One.
After World War One. Before it was all arcolas, wasn't it?
Well, or heat stoves.
Yeah, but no. I think arcolas... Like your grandma and grandpa still had our coals back in my day, you know. They were prettier in fireplaces. They were prettier in fireplaces. You come down in the morning, you know, and that old hard coal thing would be in all this, what kind of glass was it? Isinglass. Around there. And about a million different colors in it. You'd be in a lot prettier in a fireplace.
You'd be hot in the front and cold in the back. And you turn around.
But you're upstairs.
And your back get warm and...
But most of your upstairs was not heated.
No.
They used to have to open the door, you know, to get the heat up. Some homes had holes in their ceiling. In their living room, and then a grate over it, and that heat went up there to heat the bedroom. But most of your bedrooms had feather beds on them, too. You know what a feather bed is? Yeah. Great big thing full of feathers about that thick. When you dove in that thing, it was just like that was, what do they call them, in high jump on cloud nine?
Mm-hmm.
That's just like hitting the feather bed, cloud nine.
Okay, you got that on?
Yeah.
Did you get most of this?
What about the hotels like the Bancroft and the Ford, those were real big hotels, weren't they? At one
Bancroft was a big hotel. The Fortney was never a big hotel.
What was the one that burned, Uncle Art? Vinson. Wasn't that the Vinson Hotel? Over there by the auditorium?
We didn't have a Vinson Hotel there, did we?
I think it was the Vinson Hotel that burned.
No, that's right.
St. Vincent's Hotel.
But your Bancroft house was the best hotel in town.
That was the big hotel.
Then you had your Fortney over here.
Yeah.
When did that come into?
Oh, that came on late.
World War I?
Don, I don't know, but that stood there a long time until when I joined the Fortney Club, they helped put that thing back on its feet.
Was that really
that's old. Morley's is old. I wouldn't know.
That
must have been here in the before 1900.
Oh, really? That was way back then.
Oh, yes. They're an old institution.
Mm. And your other old store was Barry's store, was one of your
Barry's
old department stores.
Tanner's.
Knox's. You know where Knox's come in?
Okay.
Did you ever hear?
Dimes.
Back in our days, it was, you'd go buy it at Knox's. That was the five and dime store. That was the original Hoover store with Knox's.
Oh. Well, did the whole downtown have
wooden
street?
Sidewalks?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, not in my time, but I can remember Bay Street having wooden sidewalks on the bay in my time. Everyone had a wooden fence around their house.
So, Matt Frost was some of them run electric pipe before pipe line.
Everybody built their own? The city didn't.
Sure, you built your own. Or else you walked the mud.
Did a lot of people ride horseback or not? That was a little bit.
Well, there was horse-driven buggies, you know. There was horse-driven sleighs. There was horse. See, all your stuff was delivered by horses. Your groceries were delivered by horses. Your milk was delivered by horses. The horse and wagon.
Everything.
And then you had your horse troughs. And this corner, Bay and State had a horse trough. And
farmers would come and feed their horses there.
Give them a drink.
Have on all corners every once in a while.
Okay.
Corner Court, Bay, and Bay State.
Yeah.
Wherever the traffic was.
Yeah. Washington and Rust, I can remember they had one there.
Uncle Art, what about when a family, like say when your family went someplace during that time, how did you go all go in a carriage or something? Or how did you get there?
You hired
church.
A horse and buggy.
You hired?
You didn't have one of your own.
Like to church? Or did you walk to church?
You walked to church or took the streetcar.
There was a streetcar?
Where did the streetcar go through? Was it through downtown?
We had one on Court Street, Michigan Avenue, Washington Avenue.
All the way to Riverside Park. See, one turn right around here at Uncle Art's Corner at Bay and Court. That was the end of the line for the streetcar. And then the conductor used to get out of there, pull the trolley around, you know, what did you call it?
Trolley.
Trolley. And then it used to head back downtown. Bling, bling, you know, and head back here.
Was this like the end of town right there?
Yeah, the Court Street was the end of town. They had a roundhouse there, remember? You know, where the fire barn is. That streetcar used to go up Bay Street and into the roundhouse at night. And then the guy would pick it up at the roundhouse and make his first trip. Your last trip was 12 o'clock. You left Genesee and Washington. If you wasn't there at 12 o'clock, you walked over. Good many a night I walked over. Across the old river.
How fast will streetcars go?
Oh, they could go right along, 15, 20 miles an hour.
You still had them in New York, and I was in New York going to Columbia University. Streetcar going down Broadway, 7th Avenue. When I was going to school in Cleveland, we still hadn't gone down Euclid Avenue. That's only been, 25 years ago. Streetcars, I used to put a plain dealer sitting there, a nice wicker chair, and the old streetcar used to head down about 3 miles to the campus for them. Plain. People going out. They were good transportation, I thought. Very good, right down the end of the road.
In the summertime, you used to have your outings with them. You'd take the streetcar and go to Riverside Park. Merry-go-round?
The whole family used to
Germania.
Catch
well,
them.
Well, no, the young people.
They used
the young kids.
Coasters there, dance halls, shooting, boosts, and all that stuff. So
when you get out there, go right down Maple. You get out to the Riverside Park anymore?
Yeah, but you can't get in. The Hickey owns that now. It's not open. Yeah, it's right out the end of Maple Street down there.
But you used to go for family outings.
Uncle Art, didn't you? How long did it take you? I think what they were interested too. When you lived in town, I can remember you saying you went over to Grandpa's house over there by, Midland Road or Freeland Road, and you used to take the buggy and go across. What was it, Gratiot Street? Did you have to go that way and then swing around through there?
That's right.
And
State Street wasn't there. That was an old Gratiot. Was an old toll bridge when I was a boy. You paid 10 cents. With the horse and buggy. 50 cents for a tea or a quarter, I don't remember which.
And then I can remember Grandma saying it was a whole outing when they used to go from Bay and go over down there by Swan Creek Road, where it was over there by Hart's Farm.
Yeah.
They used to go over there visiting somebody. And that was a long trip.
Well, sure. It's, Swan Creek, that's, close. My goodness, it's a long ways across the bridge out there. Must be another 3-4 miles, isn't it, from there?
Yeah, from Liberty, Hart, Liberty Beach.
No, no.
Not Liberty Beach, from Merrill.
Merrill. Merrill Bridge.
Yeah, bridge.
People didn't travel very much from town to town, did they? Like, unless you were...
Unless it was on the train.
And just the wealthy people traveled that?
Anybody had to travel it, but those days people didn't have automobiles.
Mm-hmm. They didn't go to Detroit like we go to Detroit today. They didn't go to Chicago like we go to Chicago today. Yeah. Or to Cleveland like we do today. I mean, that was a planned road trip. That's an emergency. Yeah. Merchants used to travel that way.
What was the big thing you used to eat? Like, you know, they didn't, you know, not being real well off or something, what was the main dish? Potatoes always? Or did you always have a garden? Did everybody always have a garden? Or did they can a lot of things?
When you look back in my days, when I was a boy, let's take Bay Street. All those people, practically every one of them along Bay Street, these old, like my dad, and, your dad's dad, they all had 2 acres of land. They had a cow. They had 2 pigs that they raised. Your grandpa, Borchard, he was lucky he had 4 acres. He had 2 on Bay Street and 2 over on Blackwater. You raised some hay. You had your dad had a garden out there on Blackmore your kids took care of.
Most everything was farming there?
Yeah, it was agriculture. You didn't make enough money in those days to, you know, in the factories and things like that. They had to depend on the land for their food, a lot of it. Chickens, you had chicken every Sunday, didn't you?
Sure, they had the chickens. They had a cow, they had their milk, they had their butter. In the fall, they killed their 2 pigs, they salted them down, they made sausage, they smoked hams, made bacon, and that's what they lived on.
I know.
Half
my,
of these.
My grandma used to can a lot.
Cattle, a lot of cattle did. Right here, used to be a cow pasture.
Our house
is what I'm.
This whole thing from Bay Street, right straight through here. This was all old man Kunick. For sure. All these people that had kind of along Bay Street, they had a field out here. They take them out here just on the other side of State Street. You had a big field out there. This man around here, Chris Fisher Farm out there along here. That was all pasture land. You sent your cow out there, I don't know, 50 cents or a dollar a week, pasture. So they had milk, they had their garden vegetables, they all had gardens, they had a few grapes, they had a few pear trees, a few apple trees.
Everybody was set. Did they ever like trade with neighbors, stuff that they were out of? Or was there ever a time when the crops were down and they had to get it water places?
Oh, I don't remember that, but they all just raised enough to eat potatoes. Things like that.
Now, Uncle Art, a lot of them too. They did make their own butter, but they're still in my day. I can remember going to the different farmyards and buying butter. Remember Grabner's over here and Wall's over on Stone and Cooper. We used to go over there and buy our butter in the Crocs.
Well,
and
Grabner was a milk business.
Yeah,
made butter.
Then you used to walk over there with your milk pail, and they used to pour your milk in your milk pail. I can remember doing that. Little pail, they had these little pails, and around you just go there and they'd pour in a gallon. was before pasteurization.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Well, you didn't sit there and do it right in the cow. But they had their milkshakes. It was cool. Your ice, you know, where your ice was always cut from your side of the river here. And then they had the big ice storage factories here. And then the farmers kept their own ice. They used to cut their own ice and had their own ice shanties in the back of their house and just put sawdust on it. And that,
they cut the ice.
They'd cut the ice and put it in the ice barn or ice shed. I don't know what they called it then. But then you'd just go back and pull out a chunk of ice out of that. And that would keep all summer, wouldn't it, my boy?
And sawdust.
Yeah, and the sawdust. They put the sawdust, the layers of ice, you know, sawdust on top of that, another layers of ice. And then you had ice box. A lot of times I call our refrigerator ice box. I say, can't find it without the ice box. But you put a chunk of ice in the top of the ice box.
And would carry it in on the shoulder of the street.
Yeah,
sure, they used to cut ice right down here at Mackinac Street. Saginaw Ice and Coal Company across the river there. And mammoth great big sheds out there. Mammoth sheds. Oh, gee, they were blocks long. And then they had a saw that they'd mark this ice, pulled by a horse, would cut it partial way, and then they saw the rest of it. And they'd have a channel going in there. Then two men would saw the rest, so they wouldn't lose the horse, break through. And then they'd run into the channel, and they had a conveyor down into the lake, and then when they were filling ice house there, that went on 24 hours a day, right around the clock, night and day.
Now, the river used to freeze over, you know, you could, in that, the river used to freeze deep years ago, before Dow Chemical got up there, you know,
sure.
And heated the water up.
It's going from here to here, right? It's gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's about maybe 5 minutes. If you wanna stop there, you can stop.
No,
or if you have any. No, that's fine.
Anybody have any other questions that you can think of? Another thing, Uncle Art, I was thinking back in the older days when I was a youngster, they used to live in the different communities in Saginaw, more or less. You know, the girls don't know about this now, but this used to be a German community here.
That's right.
And then wasn't the Italian community kind of over by Carlton?
Yeah.
Because I remember going back in
down
there.
In North Saginaw, you had a lot of Italian fruit butters.
Yeah.
Run around the way.
That area, see.
Romerito and down around Clark Street. And,
and where was the French bunch? They used to be...
Well, we had quite a few right over here. A lot of those French people used to work at that Caledonia mine.
Uh-huh.
Quite a few.
That's over by Gratiot?
No, right over here on Mackinac. And a few of those off streets in there.
And then, weren't the German people, Uncle Art, over in the ward, the first ward, in that area more now, down Wadsworth and that too?
Well, you had some up there, but you had a lot of Polish people over there. Polish Hall section over there.
Yeah, over
there. Wadsworth.
South Saginaw.
No. Over in Wadsworth. What's that Polish Hall over there?
Oh, Pulaski, not Pulaski Hall. Kosciuszko Hall?
Well, one of those Polish. Yeah. That was a big Polish section.
Yeah, that would be Polish section.
South Saginaw were French.
Was that French?
There were a lot of old French fishermen over there.
Did, like, people associate? I mean, did they just keep in their own groups?
They kept
in their
own groups.
Well, one would settle there and he'd bring somebody else. That's like the people that came out to Frankfurt. What happened? You got a couple of Germans over here. An old German minister found the land and he got his people over here.
Mm-hmm.
They were all Germans out there.
But see, again, that was your ethnic groups back in those days stuck to themselves more because of their... ideas, traditions, religion, and all that.
It was a big thing back there too, like
language.
If an Italian boy married a different color, or had a different color.